The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
How damaging are short-term lets to rural Ireland? Although they can give a boost to the tourism industry, is an excess of them damaging the long-term economy of our towns and our villages? Well, here to share his experience with me, I'm joined by science communicator based in Kilrush in County Clare, Rob O'Sullivan. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Claire. How are you doing?
Great, and lovely to have you with us. You've been writing about this in the Irish Examiner today, and I said you're based in Kilrush in County Clare. You're only there, though, for a couple of years. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm originally from Cork, and unfortunately, the housing crisis kind of pushed us out to County Clare for lack of other options, to be honest with you. And yeah, as we're trying to find our way back to Cork, we're finding that Airbnbs are, you know, a pretty large contributing factor to the difficulty we have in finding our way back into long-term accommodation in my home county.
So what happened with your rental property that you had in Cork?
The landlord says that his son came home and urgently needed the property, and so we had to go find somewhere else. And within 18 months, that place was sold and is now an Airbnb, which is advertised for 10,000 euros a month.
Okay, so there you see it, loud and clear. You're happy in Kilrush, though. I mean, reading your piece today, you seem to be very involved in life there and you enjoy it.
Yes, I mean, I'm very, very grateful to the people of Kilrush for welcoming me and making me feel like a part of the community and giving me all these opportunities to contribute. But to be honest, when we first moved, we kind of kept to ourselves a little bit because we were so intent on moving home that we didn't want to kind of break our hearts a little bit by getting to know a new community and, you know, leave everybody behind again. You know, we'd been through that time and time again, you know, with the rental crisis. And it gets exhausting after a while, constantly putting down roots and saying goodbye to people. But after a year, it became pretty obvious that we weren't getting back to Cork anytime soon. So we threw ourselves into it. And the people of Kilrush have been very, very welcoming. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a Cork man. You know, I've never lived more than or lived, worked or studied more than a mile from the River Lee. You know, I've lived in many places in Cork, but the Lee is kind of the blood flowing through my veins. But I know every Cork man says that. But yeah, I just
but Cork
I'm
is
not going to feel
Cork
right
is where you want home. To be, right? That's where you want to be.
It's where I want to be. It's where my connections are. It's where my nieces and nephews are. It's, you know, where all the friends I made growing up are. It's the area I'm most familiar with. It's home.
In Kilrush, have you seen the impact of short-term lets?
Honestly, not as bad. With Kilrush, I kind of shared it as an example of a rural community done right to a large extent. Now, the broader housing crisis is obviously causing an issue. I know that some of the local businesses have shut down from a lack of accommodation for staff. The Shannon Dolphin Centre actually specifically cited on their website as a cause of their closure. But it's not as extreme, but there is obviously other issues. Like there's pretty extreme deprivation in Kilrush. It scores very, very low on the public deprivation index, etc. But just up the road in Kilkee, now, for instance, there is quite a lot of holiday homes that are lying idle for most of the year. I actually went canvassing during the presidential election, and obviously it was off the tourist season, and the number of empty houses that we were walking by was staggering, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are you angry about it?
I'm angry at the disproportionate weight we've given to this one industry. Like there are, by Fáilte Ireland's estimates, 12,000 houses that could be brought back into use when we have more than 17,000 people homeless. I'm angry at the consistent framing that, you know, any attack on the Irish tourist industry, air quotes, you know, is an attack on rural Ireland when, you know, that this industry doesn't dominate the rural economy. And I believe that the people who are living and working in rural Ireland and contributing to the economy on a consistent basis are more valuable to the economy. And, you know, beyond the economic value, like these are the communities that sustain, you know, the reasons that people want to live in rural Ireland. And they sustain our culture. I mean, we need only look to the Gaeltachts and watching them getting eroded. Like, you know, you read in the piece that I'm in a Círculo Córa. But like my Tarzan Irish is no substitute for keeping the language alive and breathing in our Gaeltachts.
The picture of you that accompanies this piece, you and your partner, you're standing in front of the Museum of, is it Rural Ireland in Kilrush?
Yeah, the Museum of Irish Rural Life.
Yes. And that picture, we can see in the background, there's a mural of an eviction. And then beside you, to the left, there is an old battering ram that would have been used to break down the door of properties when there was an eviction underway. And you have that killer line in the piece where you say, "We've traded the battering ram for the lockbox on the wall." That's an extraordinary thing to say. Explain to us where you're coming from with that.
Well, yes, so that battering ram was used by the Vandalers. They were one of the most vicious landlords in the country at the time. They made an extraordinary number of people homeless. And not only did they use the battering ram to, you know, enact the eviction, they also destroyed the home afterwards so that the tenants couldn't return to the house. And I feel like the Airbnbs are often doing that. You know, the modifications that are being made to the properties are preventing people from coming back to them. They're locking people out of homes that they could be living and working in the local community. And every time I see one of those lock boxes on the wall, I just think that's one more family that's not living there. That's, you know, one more nurse who's not working in the local hospital. It's one more, you know, person like myself who contributes to the chess club, you know, for the kids. You know, there are people who aren't in the GAA. All I'm seeing is the missing people.
What about those who say that we need the short-term lets to support the rural tourism economy? And already I have messages coming in saying that these types of lets create jobs in the hospitality sector right around the country. What do you say to that argument?
I would say that there's a balance to be struck at the very least. But I do question the value of these particular accommodation options in the rural economy. When you think about it, the Airbnb is marketed as a kind of a low-cost option. Very often, you know, there's a kitchen included so that you can cook yourself, so that you're not going to the local restaurants, etc. But an Airbnb isn't, you know, it's not employing cleaners, it's not employing bar staff, it's not employing restaurant staff, there's no receptionist. You know, the hotel industry was where, you know, the actual, the bones of our tourism industry was, that was employing local people. And even regular Airbnbs, like if last time we went to Bantry, we stayed in a place called Le Mirage, and Siobhan there, she was a wonderful host. Beyond that, though, she was an ambassador for the region. She was telling us where we needed to be going. You don't get that with an Airbnb. You rock up to an empty house. You never, you know, interact with anybody. And you're not getting that local person working locally, supporting local jobs. You're supporting, you know, the person who owns the property, obviously. But I don't think that that's the most sustainable way to ensure that we're bringing money into the rural economy. Similarly, I think that the person who lives in that property, if they're living there full time, is going to contribute much more to the local economy over time. I mean, between myself and my partner, we're bringing in an average of 80 to 120,000 euros a year. We're spending all that locally. I don't think that, you know, any one building can contribute that consistently to the local economy. And we don't have people who are able to live in the local economy to work in these tourist industries. I already mentioned the Shannon Dolphin Centre closed down. That's one attraction that people can't see if they come to Kilrush. There was a water park here that's after closing down. That's another attraction. Three restaurants have closed since I came here. More attractions that are closing down. So unless we're investing in rural Ireland and ensuring that there are healthy economies there, people are coming to these places to see what we used to be, not what we are.
How do you fix this, Rob? Do you have any idea, without infringing on people's constitutional rights in relation to their property and what they want to do with them? Or is it that wider thing that you just mentioned there, investing in rural Ireland in another way and then allowing the property situation to follow on as a byproduct of that investment?
Sure. I would say, first off, we just need to hurry up and pass the regulations. And to be honest with you, they're not even going to help me. Like, I'm not asking for this for the benefit of myself. Myself and my partner will figure it out. We'll be fine. The properties that we're looking at are in towns that won't be affected by the cap of 20,000 people in any case. But if 12,000 properties are coming back into full-time use, that's going to have an impact and is going to help people when we have 17,500 homeless. I do think that investing in rural Ireland is important so that we don't feel so reliant on the tourist economy. And again, I think it's an overly reductive way to look at what rural Ireland is. I mean, there's a lot of different industries out here. Just up the road from me, there's a company called Versiv who produced the material that was flown around the moon on the last Artemis mission. So this idea that we are just one thing, you know, we're an advancing, evolving community that can do more than be tourist attractions and farms. But beyond that, I think we do need to start investing in public housing. I don't see that as, I see that as the only option that's actually going to tackle this in the long term. As we kind of divest from public services, the Examiner actually had an excellent piece on this by Dennis Lenihan a couple of weeks ago, where the lack of investment in urban, what they call independent urban towns, is creating a lot of service strain as people move to these areas, you know, to tackle the housing crisis.
The infrastructure isn't there.
The infrastructure isn't there for us when we move.
And Rob, just going back to your own personal situation, I know you're happy in Kilrush and you've spoken to us about how you have invested in the community in so many ways with what you and your partner are doing. But do you feel stuck because you want to go back to Cork in terms of your life progression?
I felt stuck since my mid-20s. It's just the reality of living in Ireland. Like, I've been ready to move home since I was 26, but it just hasn't worked out for us. Like, every policy that has been introduced to help me has made things worse. You know, it's been the Cobra effect in action. Every policy that was meant to address the housing crisis made it worse. You know, we went down to try and buy houses that had fallen into disrepair. And because there was, you know, the derelict property grant, all of a sudden the prices went up.
Yes.
You know, because they're seeing, oh, you're able to get money on the other end. Sure, we'll take a cut of that by charging you a bit extra upfront. The vacant property grant, it's creating an incentive to sit on the properties and it's creating more vacancy because it needs to be vacant for a certain number of years before you can qualify for the grant. You know, it's every subsequent problem.
It's catch 22.
Everything that if I could say one thing to the government, it's stop helping. Everything they're trying to do is just making it harder on us.
What about the helps that are in place for first-time buyers? Is there anything there
again,
for you?
They're just inflationary. Like, they're kicking up the price of the houses. We'd be better off without them personally. Our circumstances don't match everybody's, but personally, no, they're not helpful to us.
So what are you going to do? Are you still looking in Cork?
We're still looking. We're just still hoping for, you know, a bit of luck, and we hope we can move back. But we're just considering all options now. It is frustrating. Like, I do want to, you know, for instance, start my own business, and I can't do that from rented accommodation. So, you know, you kind of keep delaying these life choices. You know, we've had, you know, discussions about kids and everything, but like, we can't realistically have kids when we don't know for sure that we're going to have a roof over our head long term. And it's difficult to be consistently waiting for your life to start. I mean, I'm 40 and my life hasn't started properly by my estimation, you know, and it does grate on you over time.
I'm sure it does. And there's so many people who are in that situation as well, which is why we wanted to talk to you, because I think what you've written today really reflects where a lot of people are. Rob, thanks very much for speaking to us today. That's Rob O'Sullivan, who's written in the Irish Examiner about all of that today. What do you think is part of the problem, a large part of the problem, short-term lets, particularly when it comes to the housing situation in rural Ireland? Do let us know on WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.